Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening live to Blog Talk Radio with Davey Miller, your host, and a sports panel of very knowledgeable Packer writers from LombardiAv.com. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we're going to have a discussion for the next 30 minutes about your favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. With me this morning is Ray Rivard. He is the editor for LombardiAv.com, and he's a very knowledgeable asset to this show for his Packer information. Also joining us today is Dan Terzinski. We'd like to welcome Dan in here as well. He is interning with LombardiAv.com. He is a junior at UWGB in Green Bay, and he has aspirations of being a professional sports writer. And we certainly welcome him in as well. So let's get right into it. I think the biggest news coming out of the bye is the injury situation. Ray, you got any insights on what's going on with the injuries for the Packers heading into game four with the Lions?
Well, it's a little unclear at this point. We do know that Eddie Lacy was back at practice yesterday, but sitting out, and Morgan Burnett, but sitting out was Clay Matthews and Jermichael Finley. There was one other that I can't think. Oh, James Starks. And we don't know. Coach McCarthy didn't really give much insight into their progress or whether they would be back this week or not. So it's kind of cloudy right now, other than the fact that we got Lacy back on the field, which is good news. We're kind of just waiting and seeing what happens with these other guys.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed as well, you know, coming back from the bye. You know, we as fans anyway, and writers, we kind of expect, you know, well, why can't they be healed after a week? But now reality is setting in. As you mentioned, most importantly, we don't know the status of Clay Matthews going into Detroit. Certainly, we hope he's available. You got Matthew Stafford's one of the best dropback Packer passers in the league, and he's got all kinds of weapons heading into Lambeau. So that's quite a concern there, having Clay Matthews listed as we don't know. The good news on the defensive side is that Morgan Burnett is back and practicing. He was on the practice field yesterday, and it looks like he's going to be a full goal. And you mentioned Eddie Lacy as well. So that's good news for Packer Nation. A little doubt about some of the others. Casey Haywood, who's got that hamstring injury, whom injured his hamstring off-site training at his own facility, so you can't blame the Packers on that one. But it is disappointing because he was depended on to be that slot corner. Yes, rookie Micah Hyde is manning that spot, but Casey Haywood's a little bit more advanced at this point than young Micah Hyde, so we certainly want Casey Haywood to come back as well. We also have Dan Terzinski, as I mentioned earlier, with us today, and he's going to share some of his insights. Big Dan, how do you think that offensive line of the Packers is going to stand up against that stout Detroit front four? What do you think the keys to stopping that front four are?
I mean, they've played the 49ers, who obviously may arguably have the best defensive line in the NFL. The Bengals are a close second to the 49ers, in my opinion. And even the Redskins, they support two All-Pros in Brian Arakpo and Ryan Kerrigan. So it's nothing that the Packers haven't had to handle so far this year. I thought they've done a solid job outside of Evan Dietrich-Smith for the most part this season. Dietrich-Smith continues to struggle. And the center position definitely looks like one in the future that is going to become vacant, especially with Smith becoming a free agent after this year. So they definitely need an upgrade at center, but otherwise they've been pretty solid. I've been impressed by Don Barclay and David Bakhtiari, their first year. Obviously, it's Bakhtiari's first year as a rookie and then Barclay's first year as a starter. They both played pretty well. Barclay's coming off probably the worst performance of his career against the Bengals, however. But other than that, I mean, they've played the Lions two times every year. They know what to expect from them. I think it'll be a good fight, but I like the Packers' offensive line still.
Yeah, I'm kind of pleased, too, surprisingly pleased, with the play of our two bookend tackles, the rookie and second-year player Don Barclay. I think they've holed up pretty well myself. I certainly agree with that. And they've certainly faced tough competition heading into this game, so that certainly isn't going to be new to them. They played some monster front fours, as you mentioned, and I'm looking forward to this week as well. On the interior, T.J. Lang, Josh Sitton have been solid, but as you mentioned, Dietrich Smith has been a little hot and cold. Let me ask you this, Dan Terzinski. Now that we got the report that both Jonathan Franklin and Eddie Lacy are healthy and James Starks' status remains up in the air, who do you think we should start at running back?
Well, if I had to take a shot at it, my guess is John Kuhn would be out again. I would say Starks is going to miss the game. So that leaves you with three rookies in the backfield. Obviously, Michael Hill, who they just signed to the active roster yesterday. You're probably not going to get a whole lot out of him. I think Eddie Lacy will be the starter. He'll be able to go. And then Jonathan Franklin, who returned to the game against Cincinnati. I don't think his injury was going to be anything long-term anyway. Kind of just tweaked something in the ankle or leg,
right,
if I remember. So my guess is it would be Eddie Lacy. Now you finally get to see what they got in their first two picks. You know, you got the power in Eddie Lacy, and Jonathan Franklin had one of the most impressive performances as a running back, really as any Packer player as I've seen in a long time for a debut.
Mm-hmm.
He was outstanding against the Bengals. I don't hold the fumble in the fourth quarter on him at all. I think it was a pretty bad play call, but
mm-hmm.
he was very impressive. I'm going to look forward to see what the two do together when they're on the field.
Yeah, I was impressed with Jonathan Franklin as well. He looks to me like he could fill a role of a scat back. He's just a little darter in traffic, and he definitely has good quicks, as coaches like to say. So Jonathan Franklin certainly can be a nice addition to the backfield. As far as Eddie Lacy, I would have to agree with that. You know, if you recall, in the offseason, Mike McCarthy kept banging the drum. DeJuan Harris is our starter. He's not going to lose his job because of injury. Well, I'm hoping he's thinking the same thing with Eddie Lacy, that he doesn't lose his job because of injury, because he's back. To quote Coach McCarthy, he said Lacy is full go. So that means he has no restrictions. So I certainly expect Lacy to be back there starting with a little scat back, Jonathan Franklin coming in for a change of pace. That's that 1-2 punch during the off season that we'd all been talking about anyway. And now, because of injuries to James Starks, we're probably going to be looking at that duo this Sunday. Getting back to Ray Rivard, Big Ray, who in the world's going to be returning punts for the Green Bay Packers?
Boy, that's a good question. And you know what? I think today Mike McCarthy doesn't even know. I think he said yesterday that they're gonna take the week to check some guys out and see who they want to put back there. But gosh, at this point, you know, is it Randall Cobb? Is it Micah Hyde? Is it, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, they put Jordy Nelson back there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they bring back Desmond Howard. You know, it's completely up in the air right now, and it's, you know, it's kind of concerning that, you know, we've come out of the bye, and even they don't really know who's going to be returning kicks. You know, and it's one of the, you know, special teams. You got to have guys back there who are, you know, can secure the ball, gain some yards, and, you know, you got to have some confidence in those guys. And, you know, going into the week without somebody in place is kind of concerning, but, you know, that's why Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson make the big bucks, I guess, is they got to make these decisions. And, And hopefully they make the right one.
Yeah, everybody hates seeing Randall Cobb back there because he is just so vital to that passing game anymore, especially with Jermichael Finley not being available probably for this Sunday. We don't know that yet, but
right.
Jermichael Finley being out, that although he's a tight end, he's certainly a big weapon in the passing game, and you certainly don't want what happened last game when we ran out of running backs. You don't want to put one of your prime wide receivers out there in punt returns, which is probably the most physically dangerous job, I think, in all of sports, because you're sitting there waiting for a ball to come down from the air. You can't hurry that ball into your hands, yet you've got 11 gladiators running at you full speed. And the thought of Randall Cobb being back there getting injured certainly worries all of Packer Nation, although he has proven to be one of the better return men in the league, so it's kind of a catch 22. Do you put him back there? Thus far, it looks to me, Big Dan, that he's been back there mostly for ball security. But I don't know. What are you thinking? What are you thinking on that kickoff return? Is it going to be Jonathan Franklin and that new Michael Hill, or is it going to be Micah Hyde back there? Who do you think is going to do the kickoff return, and Dan Trzynski?
I know we joke about it, but it's a pretty big concern for the Packers. At punt returner, I think my heart says that it's going to be Micah Hyde. That would be my guess. He got a lot of work in the off season, so he'd be probably the first one to go up there because, like you said, the punt returning is a little bit more dangerous than kick returning with those guys being able to tee off while you're staring at the ball coming down at you. So that one I would keep Randall Cobb away from, but I think Cobb is going to be the kick returner. I know it's opening up to get one of your star players injured, but at the end of the day, your star player should be on the field more often than not, and if an injury is going to occur, then it's going to occur, then they're going to have to deal with that then. But you can't tell me that McCarthy can shake his finger at starting his possessions at the 30, 35-yard line every time as opposed to taking a touchback every time. You know, Jeremy Ross was – first, it's can Jeremy Ross actually catch the ball when he's back there? Then can he bring it out? And does he know when to bring it out? So there's always so many question marks facing him. I think Randall Cobb makes great decisions every time he touches the ball. And if it's not him, it's got to be Jonathan Franklin or Michael Hill. I would like to see Jonathan Franklin more just because, obviously, he's the fourth-round pick. He's our guy. I'd like to see him get on the field more, especially after the way he played against Cincinnati. So I'm hoping that it's going to be Cobb or Franklin.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're leaning that way as well. Michael Hill's the unknown, kind of a free agent we picked up at the first week of the regular season. He was with San Diego, I believe, before that. His strength and reading about him apparently is pass protection, and that's job number one for a Packer running back anyway, so they could plug him in offensively, it sounds like, and not leave Aaron Rodgers exposed. So if they were down to their last running back this Sunday, that being Michael Hill, presuming he will be activated, at least his strength is pass protection. So, again, that's job number one for a Green Bay Packer running back. Ray Rivard, what are you thinking about the possibilities of Detroit coming in here and laying the wood on the Packers? It's been 22 years since they've been able to do that up at Lambeau Field, but I'll tell you, the Lions, I watched that game last Sunday with the addition of Reggie Bush. That looks like a whole new team over there. They still have their discipline problems. Namakon Sue is in the news again, or was 2 weeks ago, for disciplinary problems. So, you know, you got Coach Jim Schwartz there, who I don't believe in him at all. I hope he stays there for 20 years because I don't think Detroit's going anywhere with him as coach like they did with Wayne Fonts. I never wanted them to get rid of him. But what are you thinking coming into this Sunday, the Lions with their newfound running back in Reggie Bush? How's that team looking to you coming into Lambeau?
Well, you know, it's a very different Detroit team than we've seen in the past few years. personnel-wise with Bush, and you know, you got Kelvin Johnson on the outside. But you know, I don't know. It just seems like they're the type of team, very much like the Bears, that any little thing that happens when they run into adversity on the field, they seem to unravel. And I think you're right about that being from the top down and Jim Schwartz. I think players feed off their coaches, and you see that a lot happening in Detroit. They went, they took on Chicago and kind of beat them up last weekend. But I, you know, just because I think, number one, the Packers have more stability at their skill positions, especially with Aaron Rodgers. Stafford, he's a good quarterback. He throws for 5,000 yards, but he's also, you know, one of those gunslingers who will throw the ball around the yard, and he's kind of like Cutler, who will eventually throw the ball to the other team. So I think it's going to be a good matchup, but I think in the end, the Packers, they've had their number at Lambeau. The Packers are coming off the bye. They're coming off that tough loss in Cincinnati. I think we're probably going to see a pretty different team when they come into Lambeau on Sunday. At least I'm hoping that they come out refreshed and renewed and revitalized and all that stuff and ready to play some football. So, Detroit coming in, Reggie Bush scares me a little bit. They're going to score some points.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see them as the 3-1, but I just, in the long run, I just don't see them as a team that's going to contend.
Okay, well, that's certainly good news for Packer fans if that comes to fruition. Now, Dan, let me throw a question at you that you really need to think about here. Is this only game four in the season for the Green Bay Packers? Is this a must-win Sunday at home against a division rival? Because if they lose, they'll be 1-3, and Detroit will be 4-1, be 3.5 games out, 5 games into the season. So is this a must-win for the Packers?
Yeah, you really hate to use that term. It's October 1st. You know, the season ends not till December, January. But it is a must-win for them. Like you said, if they lose this game, they're 3.5 games back. And that's 4 weeks it would take for them, obviously, to regain the number one spot. And that's it with Detroit losing 4 games in a row. So it's not like we're in basketball. Go ahead.
I was going to say, wouldn't that be 5 weeks? Because if they tie them, Detroit breaks the head-to-head tiebreaker, so it's really 5 weeks it would take to catch them.
Well, they do play them again, so assuming they would split one, I guess. But, yeah, it would be 5 weeks short-term. It's a big game for the Packers. Obviously, you hate to be in this position this early in the season, but the Packers have done it to themselves. They did it to themselves early last year, and they responded well. And I expect the same thing from them this year. You know, Detroit hasn't played a team like the Packers yet. They haven't played a real tough team yet. They've played the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Bears. I mean, these teams aren't – maybe the Bears might, but none of those other teams are going to make the playoffs. So it'd be a real good test to see what Detroit's all about. I think they're a much improved team. That defensive line is very good. Their offense is even more dangerous with the addition of Reggie Bush. I see the Lions as they were my wild card team with the Packers winning the North. So I'm still a little high on them, but I think this will be a good test for them. I just don't see them coming into Lambeau. I'm 21 years old. I've never seen Lions win at Lambeau Field, so I'm going to continue that trend. It's been a good dominance against the Lions here in Green Bay and in Milwaukee, I guess. So, I just don't see them being able to come in here, beating a Packers team that was really beaten up by the Bengals. They've had 2 weeks by the time the game rolls around to get that bitter taste out of their mouth, and I think the Lions are just going to be first in line to take the beating.
Well, I like that. I definitely like that. Yes, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, Well, yeah, I just want to piggyback off of Dan's comment there about the must win, and that's a tough term to use, but you know, I agree with you guys that you know, they have to win at home, and this, of course, is a home game, a division game that, you know, you got to win your division games, and if the Packers are going to three-peat in the NFC North, they got to win this one. So, yeah, it's a must-win.
At the Breeze in Plymouth, and it is time for our first word on the Packers. We welcome in Davey Miller on this Monday morning. Davey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead, Ray. Yeah.
yeah, I was just saying that it's a must-win because it's a division game. It's a home game, and they got to beat them. That's all there is to it.
Well, I think Dan brought up a good point. We really don't know what Detroit is about up to this point because they've been playing a last-place schedule. And the Green Bay Packers, right. You know, they've played the 49ers, they've played the Bengals, two teams with Super Bowl aspirations, although Cincinnati now is 2-2, but having gotten beat by the vaunted Cleveland Browns. But, yeah, I still think they're a solid team. I think they're a legit team. Now that with New England having lost Will Wolfork for the rest of the season, that is a huge loss for that team. So it's going to be interesting to see how the AFC power slants. But make no mistake, right now the Denver Broncos over in the AFC seems to be the team to beat. And over here in the NFC, it seems like Nollins is back in town. And we certainly have, with the whole league is going to have their hands full with Sean Payton and Drew Brees and company.
Yep.
Dan Terzinski, I wanted to ask you this because you always seem to know the depth of the Green Bay Packers. How are you thinking that outside linebacker position opposite Clay Matthews is panning out with the tandem of Mike Neal and Nick Perry? Is Mike Neal outplaying Nick Perry? There's some people saying he should be starting over Nick Perry. Others say keep Nick Perry there and just use Mike Neal as a hybrid. What are your thoughts on Mike Neal and Nick Perry at that outside linebacker position?
Well, I wouldn't say that Mike Neal's outplaying Nick Perry. Nick Perry's got almost double the amount of snaps that Mike Neal does. Mike Neal's more of that hybrid guy that you bring in kind of to change it up. But I'm not going to lie, Nick Perry's been kind of disappointing this season. He hasn't had the impact that I thought that all Packers fans really imagined that he would have. He's the number one pick. Really, the number one picks for the Packers haven't panned out that great as of late. So you're kind of hoping that he would reverse the trend, but what Packers fans and many people don't remember is that when the Packers drafted him, we all knew it was going to be a project. I'm not sure why people all of a sudden thought that he was going to be this great player. He missed 8 games last year, the whole second half of the season, so really, he's still playing on half of a rookie year. He's got a long way to go yet. He only has, I know we talked about this a couple weeks, he only really has that one pass rush move. He needs to develop a spin, a swim, or something else to be able to get by linemen, because right now they're setting up for the speed and bull rush every single time, and he's not getting past anybody. I know in the first game, 49ers, they were playing more of a don't let Kaepernick beat us, so they weren't really rushing the quarterback at all. I think they played a similar defensive game plan against the Redskins. But then when the Bengals came out, you know, Andy Dalton's your old-fashioned drop-back quarterback, and we saw absolutely nothing out of Nick Perry that game. And Clay Matthews was able to get some pressure. B.J. Raji was able to get some pressure. I think they had 3 or 4 sacks, and, you know, Nick Perry wasn't able to get one. So he's been pretty disappointing. And, again, the search for the opposite Clay Matthews guy has gone to the wayside again for the Packers. they haven't been able to fill that spot. Now, you can argue, well, this is a 4-3 defense with its talent, and I would agree that I think – the talent on the Green Bay's defense is more suited for a 4-3, but you have Dom Capers in there right now, and you have to go with what you got, and right now they don't have a second outside linebacker.
Yeah, Nick Perry's a strong mountain of a man. He certainly can hold the edge against the run, but as you mentioned, he's kind of one-dimensional as a pass rusher, and therefore he doesn't get a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback. A little bit disappointing, but as you mentioned, this is really, well, he played six games last year. He's played three this year. That's nine. That's just over a half a season, and he's transitioning from a defensive end to an outside linebacker. And, you know, again, armchair quarterbacks just think, you know, you should be able to snap your fingers and switch positions, but that's certainly not the case out there between the stripes. So, yeah, I think a little bit more patience with Nick Perry, but he is doing well against the run. And like you said, he needs to develop a second and third move to go along with that bull rush. And then I think he's going to be just fine. He's strong, he's healthy, and he's a willing student of the game under the tutelage of Kevin Green. So I say just give him a little bit more time as well. And now, fellas, we're going to everybody's favorite segment of the show, our Packer predictions for Packer game day this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. And Ray, I'm going to start with you. I would like your predictions of the score, and then take about a minute, because we got about 3.5 minutes left, take about a minute and justify to us why your score is why you say it is. Go.
Well, I think the thing that the Packers need to stay away from, if at all possible, is a shootout. Detroit scores a lot of points, but if Green Bay gets into a track meet with them, boy, they may be in trouble. So the defense, first of all, has to step up. They got to get Detroit off the field on their third downs. They gotta tilt the field with their special teams, and they have to protect Aaron Rodgers. In addition to that, if they get their running game going and control the clock, keep Detroit's offense off the field, that'll go a long way in helping keep the score down. So I'm banking on the Packers being able to do all those things. Whether they're able to or not is another question. But if they are able to do all those things and keep Detroit to, say, maybe, you know, three touchdowns and a field goal, the Packers will come away with a home win. That said, I'm thinking that Eddie Lacy will score this week, thinking that Randall Cobb will get into the end zone, and I'm thinking that Jonathan Franklin is going to score as well. And I think the Packers are going to open it up this week. It's going to be Packers 38, Lions 24.
38-24, okay. Big Dan, go ahead. What's your predictions and why?
Yeah, Ray hit on a lot of big things. I know the question every week seems to be, well, the defense has to step up. Well, if the Packers are going to be a championship team, that's going to have to come true sooner or later, and why not this week? They got one of the best offenses in the league coming into Lambeau Field. The down that the Packers haven't been great on this year is third down. It doesn't get any easier this week, as the Lions defense is number one in the league on third down percentage. They have to get off the field on defense on third down, and they have to stay on the field on third down on offense. I'm going to go with the same exact spread as Ray. I'm going to go 34-20 Packers. I think this is one of those statement games that the Packers will be able to look back on later in the year and say, this is really when we turned it around. You know, that bye week we got healthy, we got focused, and now we're starting to go get our fifth Lombardi trophy, and this is a week that they'll point to that said, hey, that got us started. So the Packers win this one big, I think, and look very impressive doing it.
Give me your score quick, because we're running out of time.
34-20 Packers.
34-20 Packers. I'm going to go 34-31 Packers in the shootout. I just don't see our defense yet stiffening up. They just seem to give up too many big plays, and I don't see that changing this week, unfortunately, especially if Clay Matthews may not be playing. So I'm going to say 34-31, Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North game. Well, that's going to be it for this show. We thank you for listening here at Blog Talk Radio. For Ray Rivard and Dan Terzinski, I am Davey Miller for LombardiAd.com. See you next week, folks.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, that's it.
Okay. Good job, Davey.
Yeah, I think this one went a little better. I had a little bit more prepared time. So
yeah.
I'll get you this link and
we'll
put it up as always.
I'll post it up. I'll post it and I'll. Hey, Davey, did I have the right link on your Breeze?
Did you change it?
I'm pretty sure. Well, the one that you sent me yesterday is the one that I swapped out that was on there. So I did change it. I'm hoping I changed it to the right one.
Well, let's see. I'll look at it right. Gosh dang it, why in the world? Okay.
I'm away from my computer right now.
Yeah. I don't. Did you pick up a new writer this week?
Actually, I've got about two or three that I'm putting on as news desk guys. So they're covering like 3 hour stretches of a day, and just putting together any breaking news or putting together a separate story. So we'll see how it works out.
Okay, I'm at that article here. Let's see. No, I said the link that's for Blog Talk Radio in the middle of the article.
Yeah.
It's you can see it's dated 9/23.
Okay.
Let me resend you the one from yesterday.
Okay.
That way you for sure have it right with no confusion.
Yeah, and that's the one for the Breeze.
Yes.
Okay.
Yesterday.
All right. Okay.
And then I will send you, when I get the link for Blog Talk, that'll be the one for today also.
Sounds good.
So, if you want to re-feature the Breeze, say on Thursday, because you don't want two podcasts clinging against each other, put mine as lower priority. Let's get this podcast here up and running.
Sounds good.
Okay, Ray? Okay.
I'll get
that to you.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks much, guy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yep. You betcha.